magnificent passage of God's word this morning, let us once again go before him in prayer. And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we pray that you would come in your own gentle and tender way, especially on this tenderest of all saints' days, and speak to each of us in the quietness of our hearts. Amen. Today, on this first Sunday, the Sunday of all, where we celebrate All Saints, it is also the first day of a new worship series that we are embarking on together that is all around feasting. Feasting and come and responding to the invitation of our shepherd Jesus, who is saying, come to the feast. And Bob was beautifully reading this passage today from Revelation, I hope that you got a sense of the throne room of heaven. I hope that as you heard these words read, it's actually a song that is sung day and night, that you saw your loved one, your friend, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your child, around the throne room with Jesus, around the throne room with those who have gone before, around the throne room with the angels who are ever singing his praise. You know, there are two things about Revelation that I learned a few years back that helped me not be so scared of Revelation. Has anybody ever been scared of reading Revelation before? It's okay to raise your hand if you want to. Some of us at some point have probably been a little skeptical of reading Revelation. It is a loaded book. It is a rich book. It is full of mystery. That's one of the things I think that keeps many of us from really digging into Revelation sometimes, is that it's almost too much to take in at once. And a couple of things that I learned a few years back about Revelation that helped me so much revision it was, first of all, Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Translation of Scripture, in his book Reversed Thunder, which is about this book of the Bible, said that Revelation is all about worship. When you think of it as being worship that reveals Jesus Christ to us, then you begin to get, that is your basis for which you understand everything. This part of Revelation, this particular passage, along with a couple of others that are probably the most well-known passages of Revelation, are indeed that picture of worship. The Apostle John wrote the Revelation when he was older, he was nearing the end of his life, he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, he was going through a great ordeal himself. He uses the word ordeal we're going to talk about in just a moment. But he was going through this great ordeal, and he gets this glimpse of what eternity looks like. And he is trying to put into words something that is beyond words. In fact, all of the writers of Scripture are trying to describe to us something that words cannot contain, but words are all we have. And John famously began his gospel with the word, with this, the word became flesh and dwelled among us. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. And that leads to the second thing I want to share with you. If you ever want to embark on reading Revelation, and as we embark on going through this particular passage today, is in order to fully understand Revelation, you cannot read it apart from John's gospel and John's letters. He wrote all of them. It's kind of like reading, for instance, in a newspaper, you've got an investigative journalism piece that comes out and stays in 1 week at a time. You have 1 week, the first part of it, and then the second part, and then the third. You could think of it as a podcast also, maybe, with episodes. And you've got all of these, and if you skip one, or if you only listen to a few, you're not going to get the whole story. Well, John's whole story begins with his gospel, begins with him telling the story of Jesus, and then his letters, and then here. And when you do that, you see this, friends, and this is what's so marvelous. You begin to see these threads that connect through all of those. You begin to see John's language that's in his gospel carried over in Revelation. You hear something in Revelation, and you can relate back to the letters from John and how they relate to the church and to the churches that John is writing to. And it all begins to connect. And the very first thing, when Jesus appears on the scene after John's beautiful poem that opens his gospel, the very first thing that John talks about is when he saw Jesus for the first time, or when he was told about Jesus appearing on the scene for the first time. And it was this: John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he pointed to him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. behold the Lamb of God. Well, what is it we're hearing about over and over in this passage in Revelation today? That the Lamb is on the throne. That the Lamb is the one who, we look at with me in verse 17, who is robed in white, and who's robed in white, and people are gathered around him from all of these tribes, all of these peoples, all of these languages, with palm branches in their hand, and they're worshiping the Lamb that was slain. And then we, and then at the end of the passage, we hear in verse 17, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of the water of life. We'll talk more about that verse in just a moment as well. But do you see there that John is saying, pay attention. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who matters. This is the one who was slain for sin. This is the one who bore your suffering. And the reason I chose this passage for today, for this All Saints Sunday, out of the four that were offered, was this particular truth, friends, that Lamb who was slain, the one who was exalted on the throne room of heaven, the one who is worthy to be praised for all of eternity, he is the same one that whatever suffering you are carrying on your shoulders today, he's already carried it. He's already borne it in his body. He's already given everything so that you would not have to walk alone here on earth, and so that we can worship him in heaven forever. This image of heaven, as we think about Revelation being all about worship, friends, yes, we're here on earth, as the singer-songwriter Rich Mullins put it so well, you who live in eternity hear the prayers of those of us who live on earth. You who live in radiance hear the prayers of us who live in skin. We think so much about those beloved ones that we're remembering today who've gone before us being gone, and it feels like they're far away, doesn't it? It feels like those that we have said goodbye to and that are just so far away from us, and it's easy for us to walk outside and look up at the sky and say, oh, that may be where my loved one is, or somewhere up there. But friends, yes, we look at the heavens around us and we know that God's glory is there. We know that heaven is greater than even the sky above us. That's one reason we call the skies the heavens, because it is something so big and so wonderful. But I would also challenge you today to rethink this, that when we come together to worship God, heaven and earth collide. And not only are we encountering the presence of the Lamb who is on the throne, but we're also encountering the reality that the loved one that we have said goodbye to here in time is not that far away in eternity, worshiping the same Jesus that we are worshiping here today. All Saints Day is all about remembering that we are all saints, past, present, and future, not because of what we have done, but because of what the Lamb that was slain has done for us. And not only that, friends, but this passage in Revelation reminds us that as we continue to walk through this earth, as we continue to live one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, seeing hardship as the pathway to peace, as Reinhold Niebuhr beautifully wrote, as we go through each day like that, we also have this reality with us, that though, and that is in the conversation that John has in verse 13 with the elders. He asks them, who are these robed in white? Where have they come from? And he says, sir, you are the one who knows. And look at this, friends. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Remember, John is writing this at a time where the church is brand new and people are being killed for their faith, are being persecuted, are being tortured, and are being killed for their faith. John here says something, the elder says something to John that is so brilliant, and something that I know will just resonate with you for times to come, especially when you are going through your own ordeal. That word ordeal appears in John's gospel in chapter 16, verse 33, and it's not John who said it, but Jesus said it when he looked at the disciples right before they are going to betray him, abandon him, deny him, scatter far from him, and leave him as the Lamb to be slain from the foundation of the world. And right before that, Jesus says to them, in me you have peace. In the world you will have trouble. Also translated tribulation. Also translated ordeal. Have any of you ever been through an ordeal before? Do you look back and see what an ordeal it has been? John is remembering here that Jesus said, you're going to go through an ordeal. The Greek word that is used there is thlipsis, thlipsis. And it actually, the best translation of it, friends, this is what I think you're going to love as you go through difficult times in life. The word means pressure. The word means pressure, being under tremendous pressure, internally and externally. And what John is hearing here is that, yes, this early church, these who suffered for their faith, those who have been through misery and through grief, those who have been through hardship and heartache for the sake of the gospel, those who have lived and been faithful to the call God has given to them, lived under tremendous pressure. And I'm guessing if we went around the room today, both here in the building and across the internet as well, all of us could relate back to a time where we felt like we were under tremendous pressure, that we were going through a tremendous ordeal. And friends, Jesus is inviting us across the centuries today through this passage to remember that he has gone before us. He has experienced the pressure. He's been through the ordeal. He's told us, yes, in the world, this is the reality you're dealing with. But if you live in me, you will have peace for the ordeal that you go through. As you go through the tribulation, in him, you have peace. And the peace that we see here that John conveys to us all revolves not around our ability, but about keeping our eyes on the Lamb who is at the center of the throne, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And in verse 17, once again, we hear that the Lamb will also be the shepherd, and the shepherd will guide them to springs of water of life. Imagine this with me for just a moment, friends. We hear that Jesus is the Lamb. He's also the shepherd. Jesus is everything. He's the Lamb who is our shepherd, who guides us to the eternal waters of life. Jesus guides us there, and God our Father will wipe every tear from every eye. Imagine that with me for a moment. Jesus, the matchless Son of God, here you are in your grief today. Here you are in your sadness and your loss. Those of you who are remembering a loved one, you have come here, and the Lamb who is the shepherd is saying, let me guide you to your heavenly Father. Let me take you to the one who will wipe the tear from your eye for all of eternity. Friends, that same Jesus is here today. That same Holy Spirit that moves among us is here today. That same Father is here to dry your eye. The pressure that you are under, the tribulation that you may have gone through, may you experience today in the presence of God and each other a peace in Jesus that takes you beyond that, that takes us higher, that takes us to greater heights to see the great and mighty kingdom that God is bringing to us as heaven collides with earth. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, I want to share this one story with you that that I hope will bless you. This is not the kind of story I usually share, but I think it's important to today. Back in March, I was driving to the church for a meeting, and I knew it was going to be a tough meeting. I knew it was going to be a meeting with a lot of pressure in it. You would say, well, aren't most church meetings like that? No, not all of them, but many are. Many have a degree of pressure in them, and we'll do another sermon one day about the good kind of pressure, but this was not the good kind of pressure. I felt like I was in the middle of an ordeal. And for some reason that day, I drove to the church on Westbrook Street. I usually take Broad Street. But I was driving down Westbrook Street, and I looked up, and the sky was just beautiful, and the clouds were gorgeous, and the clouds were just all kinds of shapes. And some of you may be the type that like to look at the clouds and say, oh, I see a duck, or I see a dog, you know, or I see this, or I see that, and you see forms in the clouds. I don't normally do that, but I'll look up and say it's pretty. Well, that particular day, I'm driving down Westbrook Street toward the church, and as I got closer to the church, there was one cloud in particular that I thought, that's a different looking cloud. I wonder what's going on. That cloud is just weird. That was my first thought. And I got closer and I said, well, that cloud looks like something. And so I pulled over and I got out of the car and I just looked at it for a moment. And friends, I'm not kidding you. That cloud was a throne. And there was a Lamb seated on the throne just above the church. And I just stood there on Westbrook Street and just stared at it, and I heard the Lord say, I am the Lamb, and I am on the throne. What have you to fear? And by the time I got to the church, I couldn't see it anymore. But that was 9 months ago, friends, and that same Lamb who's on the throne in the sky, in that cloud, is at this table, ready to feed you, ready to guide you. The Lamb is indeed our shepherd. What do we have to fear? Let us come to the table just as we are. Let us receive. Let us have the tears wiped from our eyes. And let us arise from this table a victorious, resurrected people, ready to do his will, ready to follow his way, and ready to worship him in spirit and in truth, to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 13 of your hymnal. We will join together in the great thanksgiving to prepare us for the Lord's Supper.